And welcome to another episode of From the Lower Level. I'm your host, Moshi.
And I'm Patrizio.
And
I've got nothing. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I literally was like, I can never come up with anything good. You always have the goods. So I was actually like really looking forward to what you would surprise us with this week, but that's okay.
Okay, fine.
Not interesting anymore. You can't just bring it in now. All right, go. Which one were you going to do? I hate to see you disappointed.
You've heard a lot about me, but it's only true when it comes from my lips.
I don't even... Is that Lisa Rinna? Like, I don't even know what that is.
Yes, it's got lips. Lisa Rinna.
Do you know what I was hoping you would say? You shared with me earlier this week, might have even been today, a clip of when Marge Senior, who we'll be discussing, was bartending on Watch What Happens Live. And Marge was on with Michael Rapaport, and it was the most iconic non-tagline. I may have two cats, but I only have one pussy.
Ma'am, that is a not that, and there goes the not safe for work like warning on our Spotify.
It's okay. I always have it marked as explicit. People know it's fine. But I just want to say, I am so disappointed that that isn't a Real Housewives tagline, and it officially lives in my soul rent free.
Marge Senior, an icon.
An icon. But speaking of iconic things, we might be slow on franchises, but we are not slow on Real Housewives news. The people want to know, Patrizio, what is the word on the street?
All right. I'm going to start off a little bit differently today, Moshi. This week it came out that Bethany from New York alumni said that her mouth...
The way you have to preface who Bethany is, like, you think people don't know who Bethany is if they're listening to this podcast?
A lot of people will claim not to know her.
Wow.
But she claimed that her Mount Rushmore of housewives would be Lisa Vanderpump, Teresa Giudice, Nene Leakes, and of course herself. So I want to start this out by asking you, Moshi, who would be on your Mount Rushmore? Do you need time to think?
I do, but I definitely know the first one for me is Nene Leakes. Like, I don't care what anybody says, Nene Leakes is the greatest housewife in housewife history. One day we can have a discussion on why, but that's my hill that I'm dying on. So definitely Nene. I feel like I have to go by the franchises. For me, the next one would have to be Jill Zarin. I'm just like very, I know that's going to be a controversial choice. I'm just very old school. And for me, Jill is Housewives. I think I didn't watch OC first, like New York and Atlanta and New Jersey were my introduction into Housewives. So that's kind of where my soul lives. I was thinking about whether or not I would put someone from New Jersey. And it's like, I mean, I like all the women. And I think like it goes without saying like Teresa should be on there just because there is no one like her. But I'm going to flip it and go to the Real Housewives of Miami instead. And this is really hard for me, but it's Alexia, Miami's own version of Teresa. And then finally, I was thinking about this. We're going to go across the pond.
Oh.
We're going to go to the Real Housewives of Cheshire.
Oh.
And I am going to put on there Ampika.
Oh. You know what? Good choice. But
there's just so many actually, like, I could do several Mount Rushmores, but yeah, I think that's what my... That's my, not Trinity, whatever, my quad of housewives is.
The only thing I will say is that I feel like Empika needs to be disqualified because much like you have to be an American citizen to be the American president.
You know, what I'm hearing from you now just sounds like xenophobia. So instead, I would like to know who would be on your Mount Rushmore. Because I don't even believe in Mount Rushmore as a concept. I'm literally doing this as a hypothetical, theoretical to appease you. I can have Empika if I want.
Okay. Well, I will indulge you. Thank you for indulging me. My Mount Rushmore would be NeNe Leakes.
Easy.
Teresa Giudice.
I get it.
Ramona Singer.
You're going to hell. Like, you're actually going to hell.
And Tamra Judge.
It's like you don't love yourself. And I'm just going to say, because I know I say this a lot about housewives, that they need to go to therapy, but I'm going to say it to you too, Patrizio. What I got out of that was somebody who is lost and has a lot of hate in their soul.
I had to go. Look, I'm not excusing it. I'm explaining it. And I have chosen these women because they are infamous, not because I think. Like, when you think of housewives, it's the table flip. It's turtle time. I mean, NeNe Leakes is bloop on her own, right?
Like, I mean, said what I said. We see each other.
Literally, right? So, and, you know, that's my opinion. So.
Oh, apologies. COVID cough. Oops. Yeah, look, that is your opinion, Tamra Judge.
I disassociated from my body to give
you this. When we go too deep and you ask us to philosophize on housewives, this is when the hate between us starts.
I am
triggered by your Mount Rushmore choices.
But you know what? You just know there's a shit stain right under Ramona's face.
Oh, like literally dribbling.
Oh, well, look, with that out of the way, Moshi, let's get into the word on the street.
Yeah, you need to detour real quick and bring me back onto your team right now.
Okay. Well, let's start off in New Jersey. This was like the hottest topic of the week, and I feel also the fastest resolution. We found out that Bill Aiden had his Ferrari stolen out of their Paramus garage. There was footage that Jennifer posted on Instagram, and no sooner had it been stolen, it had been found, I feel.
Make it make sense. How are people stealing Ferraris?
I mean, I think that these housewives need to, like, take note. I mean, Dorit was, you know, broken into and held at gunpoint wherever it was, right? Like, how has nobody upped their security? I mean, I get it. Like, Jennifer's probably thinking, like, in New Jersey that she's not a huge target. But fact is, when you flaunt any wealth on these shows, I think it does put something over your head.
Okay, so there's, like, breaking into a house and stealing jewelry. That actually happens a lot in the US, particularly in Hollywood, LA. But it's not as easy as people think anymore to just steal cars. There was definitely a time where you could just steal a car. So my whole thing is, like, I'm really curious about stealing, like, such an expensive car, which is, like, had they stolen the keys first and that's how they stole the car? Or is the car, like, I don't know enough about Ferraris, but I'm wondering, is the car, like, electrified? Like, is it run specifically on a computer? Because it's not like he has, like, a vintage Ferrari. It's, like, recent. So I'm wondering whether or not, like, people are, like, hacking into these cars to steal them. For me, it's just, like, to steal a Ferrari, you have to be working high-end vehicles. Like, you really have to know the car. So it's just, I want to know more about how it was stolen. Not so that I can steal one, but I'm just curious, you know?
Or it was an inside job.
I mean, I did suspect it was an inside job, but the fact that it was returned, Yeah. That's what made me realize it's not an inside job. Anyway, I digress.
Well, speaking
of inside jobs, is that what you're going to say?
Speaking of things that were broken into, Tom's house was broken.
It's never going to get old.
Well, in all seriousness, though, the Beverly Hills, Erica, she's been named in yet another lawsuit, which this one is basically alleging that she was the front woman for Tom's quote-unquote criminal enterprise.
Yeah, I don't read too much into this, only because I feel like people sue each other a lot. And this feels like, to be honest, publicity before Beverly Hills starts.
Well, I don't know. I think that, like, yeah, anyone's going to basically be trying to get money out of these people however they can.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like this season may have more of this sort of, like, discussion around how involved was Erica.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we want more of that discussion, but I don't know how I feel about this lawsuit. The lawsuit just feels to me like they tried to sue Tom or something. It didn't work. And so now they're trying to sue EJ. Like, they're going to just go down the list.
Do you think that she has to mind, though?
Definitely not.
I think I still stand by my thought that she did know more than what she alludes to.
100% believe you. But criminal mastermind, I think not.
Interesting. Well, let's talk about our favorite ladies in Miami, because season 5 has commenced shooting. And the producer, one of the producers, has been seen throughout the week taking photos with some of the women, which yep. has led the people to believe who the top 5 returning housewives are, which are Nicole, Alexia, Lisa, Julia, and then Adriana to be promoted into that full-time role
yep.
as well. And then today we saw that Larsa had her new beginnings party with some shots with Kiki as well. So
I was just going to say, Kiki's actually been seen hanging around Nicole, hanging around Adriana. She's in the mix.
So, I mean, I think we knew that all these women, except for probably Larsa, were going to return in some capacity.
Except Gertie. There's no way Gertie's coming back.
Yeah.
She's a one and done.
Which, you know.
No, I think I don't think she has the capacity to be on the show.
I don't know, but I'm only sad because I think she could have offered a lot more than she did.
Yeah, but you don't even like her, if I recall.
Well, it's not that I didn't like her. I just forgot she existed.
Exactly. I think we'll probably get maybe one other new housewife, but I can't see them wanting to change the formula too much because it worked.
I think, you know, there's been a lot of discussion around, like, bringing housewives back for a second season. I know we didn't talk about it on the pod last week. But Drew Sidora was getting like a lot of like attention on Twitter, I feel, from Bravo fans, and everyone was sort of like, yes, like this is why you give a housewife a second season, which I think should be a thing. And I feel like that was a thing on Cheshire. Like Cheshire does that where they like, and it's only because they shoot like seasons so close together, but
yeah.
Women are given kind of like a second season, second chance, I feel, to kind of, you know, the first season to establish themselves in the group and then the second season to kind of deliver. And then if you don't deliver on the second season, you get the boot. And I feel like that's a pretty fair thing to do across any franchise.
I agree, except I guess the other side of it is that the producers do ask you, like, what do you think your storyline will be? Like, what are you bringing the next season? We know with Nicole, there's the whole wedding that she could give us, you know, and she's giving us lifestyle as well, right? She's got the private plane. She's doing all of that stuff. I think Gertie like has what it takes to be a phenomenal housewife, but I personally don't think that she has the capacity to bring it. So I wouldn't mind if she's like maybe a friend of again, but I think we've also seen rumors of new housewives. But I think, you know, I don't think we should think it's just going to be limited to 5 housewives. I think I could see this being one of the bigger franchises in terms of more women in the mix. And I'm excited for it because Miami, if anyone can do it, Miami can.
Totally. Well, speaking of casting choices, Carol Radswell from New York came out this week saying that she ruled herself out for the legacy season, basically saying that she would be unable to hold a conversation with any of these women.
100%. And she also lives in LA now. I think Carol has made no apologies for the fact that, like, she's just not really friends with these women. She's not living the same life that they're living. And she wants to do other things. And I think that's okay.
And Kelly Ben Simone will take her apple.
Look, I mean, I want to know more about this doubleheader Real Housewives of New York situation. I'm listening. I'm open. I'm interested. But I don't know if we need Kelly Ben Simone either.
I know you don't like her.
Bring back Alex McCord. Fly her and Simon back from Australia. Put them back on Real Housewives of New York. Friend of. Okay. You're not impressed by that.
Monster shoes.
Even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes.
Honestly, you know, I don't know what it was. It was like Watch What Happens Live recently, and somebody, oh no, maybe it wasn't even recent. Maybe I was watching like a throwback episode, but like they rated that amongst like a whole bunch of other shady quotes as the most shadiest of the bunch. And I was like, I'm just not here for that comment.
You know what, though? At the time, it really was. And you know why it was shady is because Luann didn't even know what she was doing was shady. What Luann was doing was being a snob, right? Mm-hmm. We weren't in a space yet where we understood fun shade and we had like, you know, I guess what I would call like, you know, black or sort of like queer shade, right? We didn't have that. And, you know, for somebody like the Countess who's meant to be so proper, you know, the way she portrayed herself and then to sting, it was like we finally have seen who these white women really are. Like, it was just a revelation because they normally have so much decorum and it was like the mask slipped. So that's kind of why it has a bit of prestige, if you will, and that's kind of what makes it shady and makes it like up there as like just super shady.
Well, speaking of masks slipping...
Oh, these segues.
We're going to go across the stand up this week that Dawn Ward from Cheshire has been cleared of her anti-Semitic abuse and cocaine possession she got charged with a few months back because she called somebody a something C word. Moshi, justice for Dawn Ward.
Fuck off. Literally, fuck off. If there is one person who I think needs a break from Housewives, it's Dawn Ward. You see, the last couple of years, she's been slipping. Like these, so many, she's had a health crisis, she's had lawsuits, all these little things. Nah, not good, mate.
Well, you know, she's moved to Dubai, so she better not be caught for cocaine possession there because they will chop off your hand.
Good.
They chop off
your nose as well. What? No, snot.
She'd be happy with a nose job, I'm sure. But, Marcia, the big news of this week, I feel, was that the Real Housewives of Dubai teaser dropped.
Teaser!
Such a tease. You know, there was definitely the rumors going around that they were dropping a trailer, but we just got a teaser and we got a date, the 1st of June. That would be US time, right? So her second for people on the other side of the international dateline, but...
That's us.
Yes,
so that is us. Those of us who live in the future. Yeah.
Moshi, look, what were your first thoughts at just the teaser?
Not much. It just looked like what I expect. It looked like luxury, sand, plastic surgery.
Yes, very that. I think the other takeaway for me was it's a diverse cast as well, right? And I don't know if you have read any of their bios, but also like there's women from all around the world in this cast, which, I mean, Dubai is...
No, no women of Arab origin.
There is one. One of the girls is born and raised in Dubai. I mean, look, the fact is Dubai, 90% of the people that live there are not Emirati. So that's not a lot of, that's not a giant talent pool that you could go to. And I'm sure there's not a lot of Emirati women either that are going to be signing up for the Real Housewives. But you've got like a Filipina, you've got I think it was a Jamaican girl in the mix. Like you have women from all in Dubai. I think it's going to be fabulous.
Love an immigrant housewives.
Well, that's literally what they all are. They are all immigrants. But, you know, Moshi, the big one is obviously Caroline Stanbury from Ladies of London. She's moved to Dubai and she was definitely the standout in the teaser. She had that freaking dress compared to everyone else, which I thought was kind of bullshit. But I thought this week we could do a new segment. Which, Moshi, what have you titled it?
It is officially called Paddy Pops His Cherry. And basically what it is we're in a bit of a lull. We don't have any new franchises to sink our teeth in. And I love that you have been going back and doing, I guess, your Bravo / Housewives adjacent history. And you have started watching Ladies of London. And it's perfect timing because it's a great way for you to be introduced to the icon, Caroline Stanbury, because that is her claim to fame. So I am really curious to learn a little bit more about how you're enjoying watching Ladies of London as somebody who watched it when it was happening. But maybe we could start off by you perhaps giving the listeners a little bit of an overview. What is Ladies of London about?
I mean, what is Ladies of London about?
How many episodes are you in?
I think I'm up to like episode 5 at this point, right?
Okay, and there was like what, 3 seasons?
There's 3 seasons, and I feel like there are about like 10 episodes. Oh no, season 1 was 8 episodes. Like it's I'm very halfway short. Through. And then there were like 10 and 11 for the other 2. So definitely very like quick, easy watching. I feel the premise of the show is that there's basically these American women vying to be British socialites.
Correct. They're trying to fit in.
And they've got these 2 British women who are kind of like, I feel like what the idea was that these 2 British women were going to like train the Americans on how to be British socialites.
100%.
But instead, the British women are like, these Americans are fucked. I want nothing to do with them.
100%. I think you've described it very well. But it is, it's really about this. The reason why Caroline Stanbury became such an icon is because essentially everybody wants to be her friend. Like, she's the HBIC. And just over the 3 seasons, what you're going to witness is the depravity and the way the American women are willing to like put each other down to get as close to Caroline as possible is beyond amazing. Meanwhile, you're going to see Caroline also go through a lot of ups and downs, and she's very British in that she really doesn't show a lot of emotion. And it's really interesting to watch somebody have almost in instances have their world sort of fall around them. There's a reason why she moved to Dubai, and just like not shed a tear. But I think you're like season 1 is good, but I think you're gonna love season 2 when the other Caroline joins the cast. You're not gonna know yourself. That's just a little bit of a heads up. So I'm really interested about some first thoughts from you. You're 3 episodes in. Is there already a woman, a Lady of London, who you're enjoying?
I would have to say, unfortunately, Moshi, I went in with a bias watching this.
Of course, it's impossible not to.
The idea of watching it was I wanted to prepare myself for Real Housewives of Dubai. I need to know who Caroline is. And she is the MVP, the HBIC. She is legend, icon, the moment. So definitely loving Caroline. And it's funny that you say that she's like British and she doesn't show emotions, because she's always like, I am very American. I'm the most American British girl. That's sort of like...
She changes so much in season two. So her whole thing in season one is about how the reason why she ended up being friends with these women is because she wanted to be American cool, but things change for her. Just a heads up.
My thing with this show is, though, I don't remember who any of the American girlies are. They are the same woman to me. So, and I'm having a lot of trouble distinguishing between Marissa
and Juliet
and Noelle. No, Juliet, I remember.
Oh, okay. Because that's, she's a brunette. Noelle's not even in the second season, so you can forget her. But you're absolutely right. I can understand why you would get them confused. They literally look the same.
They look the same.
Oh, actually, no. Noelle is in the second season. She's got a sad story.
Well, I don't know. I just don't remember either of them. And the only reason why I remember Juliet is literally because she has brown hair.
Yeah.
She's like the only one other than Annabelle, who's the British girl. Oh. So like, I can remember who she is. You know what my other impression of this was? I love Cheshire because they're always like, hi, girlies, we're going to go on a girly trip. We're going to do girly things. Out with me, girlies. And it's just because they're from London. It's just none of that. And I really love that sort of that girly thing.
You should also watch The Only Way is Essex if you like that girly thing. You've just brought up something that I totally forgot about that makes me really sad. Annabelle, do you know what happens to her?
Oh my, no, and no spoilers, please, but does she die?
Well, she passed away like a couple of years ago. She passed away, I want to say, at the beginning of the pandemic, because I remember that we definitely had it as word on the street.
Oh, wow. Annabelle's interesting. Like, I think this is
She's the most fascinating woman on that show.
I think the thing with the British women is that they are, like, they are actually rich and they are actually very well connected. Like, when you start telling me that you, like, roll with the royals and, like, Alexander McQueen and, you know, like, all of these, like, big names that come out of Britain, it's sort of like, okay, like, this is legit.
But Annabelle is not just, like, she's aristocracy, but she's not just really rich. She's like really connected. Like Naomi Campbell is one of her best friends. Like when Annabelle died, the people that were at her funeral, Patrizio, amazing. And Alexander McQueen just wasn't her, just a mate. They were like kindred spirits. They were basically a couple, aside from the fact that he was gay. But that's how close they were. They were just like, she is his muse. She inspired every collection.
And it's crazy to me because that's something you just wouldn't really get from any of the US housewives.
And that is what you're talking about. That's the tension. That's what makes Ladies of London so good.
And I think the other part of that as well is that I think we are also beyond that time when women who have those kind of connections would want to be on a show like this now, right? I think Housewives has devolved into a point where you can't really get the same caliber.
Look, I agree with you. I think the premise of Ladies of London originally was very original and very interesting. So this kind of clash between these women who really like the existing aristocracy and socialites of the UK. And I think it's really good because you have, what's the Canadian woman that does the lingerie, the older one, who's been in the UK for so long and had made a name for herself already?
Caprice,
that's the one. And then you have like the Juliets and the Marissas, who are, all I'm going to say is the beef between Juliet and Marissa through every season is just phenomenal. By season two, you'll remember who Marissa is because she just has the most weirdest story. her husband is a big deal in the UK as well.
Is he the one with the $400 million hiding the money?
No, that's Noella's. That's Noella's.
See, this
husband.
Is what I mean, Moshi. I don't remember.
No, because you don't know enough about Marissa's husband Matt yet, but you will soon. But basically, Marissa's husband Matt grew up with Caroline and Annabelle. Like, he grew up with them, and he went to America. So he created like every music festival and owned like every nightclub that all the socialites went to. And then he moved to the US and he meets her and he comes back and he's not a party boy anymore, but they all grew up around him. So the thing is that Marissa thinks because of him, she has this automatic in, and that should put her higher than Juliet. And it's fabulous. The way they hate each other. Oh, frenemies. Oh, it's best frenemies ever.
I think that's the other thing. I think it's just watching how desperate these women are to, like, fit in to this, like... Because we have to remember as well, like, England is still very much a class society.
100%.
You gotta climb the ladder. And they are social climbers. And because they're American as well, it's very... What's a word when you have, like, no, like, morals or anything, willing to do anything?
Well, I think you said desperation before. Tact, is that the word you were thinking of?
No, it'll come to me later. But they okay. just, there's no, they're willing to do anything. If someone said
scruples?
Kill, what was the word?
Scruples?
We're on the right track. But
okay, when the word comes, though, I want you just to scream it out randomly.
And everyone has to do a shot. But
100%.
I feel like if one of them was like, if you kill Caroline... Like, they would do it.
Oh, and it is Hunger Games. It is fabulous. Okay, so now that we've sort of spoken about a few of the women, you've told us who you love, who are you really not digging?
I mean, Juliet is annoying.
The most annoying. But you've got to love it.
very annoying. I actually think, no, because now that you've reminded me, so Noelle is okay. I don't mind her. I actually really don't like Marissa. I think she's freaking annoying also.
And that is why you and I are back on the same page.
Because Marissa is the thirstiest of them all.
The thirstiest.
I don't know. It's just, to me, it's, you know what it is? It's the level of, like, fights as well. So when Juliet was, like... in her, like, Daisy Dukes, like, screaming at Annabelle in the street, and then, like, the drama afterwards is like...
Oh, the 4th of July party.
Yes.
Never forget.
And it's like, you can't scream. It's like, it's bad decorum to be, like, drunk and screaming at someone on the street, and you have to apologize. And she's like to Caroline, no, like, I'm not apologizing. And Caroline's like, no, you will be apologizing. And the way that Juliet, like, backs down because it's Caroline telling her to, like, apologize. It's just, again, it's shit you just don't see on any other franchise.
No, and it is, I would say, a turning point. So Ladies of London is up there for the Bravo heads, has always been up there as a show that people have wanted to come back in the same vein that they wanted Miami to come back. But the reason it doesn't come back is because of Caroline Stanbury, because she leaves London, which you'll see in season 3. So I'm really loving this for you. I'm curious, like, what are your expectations? Because you did come in with a bias, which is unavoidable. So what do you think? And I've obviously given you a few spoilers as well, but I'm curious as to know, like, how do you feel about this journey for you? Do you think is it a good choice that you've made?
Look, I think it's interesting, right? Because it's a Bravo show. And I think that's the thing that makes it different as well. That is Bravo produced, unlike Cheshire, for example, which is just like franchised out. And I think that's why, obviously, there are so many American girls. Like, if you're looking for Real Housewives of London, this show, it is not.
Correct.
I think that was my expectation going into this. Like, it was just Real Housewives of London under a different name, but it is very much not that. but it is still compelling television. My prediction for these girlies is divorce. Just across the board, everyone's getting divorced.
Interesting. Well, let's see if your prediction comes true. And on that note, I mean, it is a quiet week. I reckon we should take a little break, come back and talk about the latest episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey.
New Jersey. And we're back from the break, Moshi, to talk New Jersey. It's season 12.
Episode 10.
It's actually the penultimate episode. No, it's not. That's a lie. I just lied. Sorry. I'm thinking.
Yeah, I was like trying to do, like, I just had that. You know the gif where the woman is like got all the maths things that's flying past her head? That was me when you said penultimate. I was like, but it's not.
There's a Lisa Rinna version of that gif.
Honestly, you can just do it with anybody's face and it's brilliant.
Okay, no, there is another franchise that we do not discuss on this podcast and that had a penultimate episode this week. New Jersey, though, it is wrapping soon. It is coming to an end.
It always has a shorter episode run.
Yeah, I think we've got like two episodes left. But anyway, look, was there a lot happening in this episode? Let's be honest, not really.
No, there wasn't a lot happening, but it did feel to me like a return to form, if that makes any sense.
Interesting.
Do you get what I mean?
No, not really.
Would you like me to explain?
Yeah, you're going to have to.
Well, I just mean, like, we got to the New Jersey episodes of old, like, aside from when, like, people are fighting, are always about, like, the families. They're always about, like, the stories that we do get about each woman are really, really deep. And I just sort of find that lately, like, we always just focus on one person's story. And I just feel like we got a nice look at a few stories. You know, we got the Teresa moving storyline. We got the Jackie and her recovery storyline. And then we delved a little bit into getting to know more about Marge that wasn't adjacent with her, like, fighting with someone. To me, it was wholesome. It was a wholesome episode.
I guess it was wholesome, but I feel like there's still this underlying tension that we cannot avoid. But
that's why the wholesome is even better, because it's really the calm before the storm.
Well, I mean, if you see the trailer for next week, yes. Oh, it truly iconic. Is the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's dig in, because really we've got three main players this week. Teresa, she's moving out, Moshi. She's selling up. She's got 1 week to go, and she is out of this home that has like 1,000 memories.
That house launched this franchise. Like, let's be honest. Like, I feel like there's a whole season about this house. You know what I mean? Like, so much happened.
It is one of those, like, seventh characters, right?
100%.
And it's iconic not only for the events that have taken place inside those walls, but also just the architecture itself, as we have discussed before.
Yeah, it's a very interesting house. But, I mean, when I think of, like, a kitchen, it's really hard for me to not think of the kitchen in that house. So much has happened there. People were there for so many parties, like the staircase.
And we saw all of that. We got the flashbacks. We got the nonno making the squid in the pot. And we got the party where Joe Giudice tells everyone how much he loves them. We got the Gia's prom. It all came out in this episode.
Yeah, just so much has happened in that house. I think you're absolutely right when you say it's like another character.
And I understand why Melania and the girls are so upset about moving out, because it does have so many memories. And when your dad isn't like physically in the country anymore, there's not much else that you can hold on to, right?
True. I think like the house was also like a big thing about Joe as well, like Joe Giudice. Like, you like we obviously know that they went to prison for fraud and things like that, but if we think about like how much they whatever they did, they Joe worked particularly hard to be able to build that house for them. It was meant to be this real dream home for them, right? And I guess it's just such a, I guess like while it holds those memories and the memories of Joe, a lot of the memories for me now feel a bit negative. I feel like the house might almost have bad juju.
Well, I agree with you. I think there's sort of like there's that fine line that I think, yes, these girls do have a lot of memories there. It's the only thing that they can really physically hold on to now that their dad is not based in the US. But yeah, it's like the place where their parents like divorce happened, you know, like there was, and yeah, just the fact that Teresa and Joe both were in jail and like there was a missing parent in that home for so many years. I mean, between the two of them, I think it was like 4.5 years in total or something. That's yeah. A long time. Yeah, I agree. It's just sort of like it's time to sage, sell and move the fuck on.
Oh my God, sage, sell and move the fuck on. I love it.
That is going to be like the tagline of my real estate agency.
Love it.
I thought it was interesting as well that they're not keeping everything. Some of the things the buyer has asked to keep, like the piano. I don't know. There's a lot of choices in that home. I don't know why anyone would. First of all, I don't really know why anyone's buying the house. But second of all, I just don't know why anyone's keeping anything inside of it.
Mausoleum. Like the person who's buying that house is a fan.
Not the Real Housewives of New Jersey mausoleum.
Yeah, they're gonna turn it into like a museum, like Graceland or something. You know, like you could walk through. This is where Teresa said she prefers pinoli cookies and not sprinkle cookies. This is where, you know, like.
You know what though? If there was one place where they were to create a Bravo Housewives museum,
it's New Jersey.
It truly is Teresa's home.
100%.
Okay, so that's Teresa. Good for her. Next we have Jackie. And I just want to say this was powerful yet again.
This was really powerful. But before we just jump to Jackie, I just want to point out that that is pretty much all we get of Teresa this week.
Yeah, because everyone's icing her the fuck out.
And that is wild.
These girlies, they want to prove a point that they can make a show without Teresa.
And I hate to say it, maybe they can.
Well, I disagree with you, Moshi, because we've just said that, like, there's literally nothing to discuss this week. We're going to be wrapped up before tea time here.
I think that there was stuff to discuss. I think what there wasn't to discuss was, like, drama, which is what we're so used to, because literally week after week after week after week, there's been fights, there's been drama, there's been craziness. Instead, for me, this week, I said it was wholesome. There's a bit of kumbaya. And I think, you know, we're going to talk about Jackie and her recovery now, which is all about healing. You know what I mean? Wholesome. Kumbaya.
What if there's a Caroline Stanbury moment and Teresa leaves New Jersey and moves to Connecticut?
Never going to happen.
And the show is over because what can you do without Teresa Giudice?
Didn't they used to have a house in the Catskills? That was a thing.
Teresa?
Yeah, that was a thing, like Joe's family or someone had a house in the Catskills. I feel like that was a thing.
Well, if they did have the house, I'm sure that it had been sold to pay restitution.
No, I agree. But, like, let's talk about Jackie because I do want to start.
Jackie. Wow. What a powerful moment, like I said before. Obviously, we're finally getting this story about her eating disorder and her recovery. She's in therapy and her therapist has challenged her to add to her calories this week. And she's going to go and eat ice cream because that's something that she has never done with her children. She takes her kids to go eat ice cream, but she never has it herself.
Patricio, she hasn't eaten ice cream in 18 years.
Which honestly, like, you know how she finds it crazy that people like eat ice cream and then they will eat other things as well. Like, I think it's crazy. She has not eaten ice cream in 18 years. That's like a long time.
But this is what the disease does to you. It really warps your understanding of food.
That's like my entire lifetime that she has not eaten ice cream.
Honey, I know you like to think you're 18, but you've got a couple of extra years on you, Dals. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't show, but, you know, you do.
I just want to say, though, it was a strong choice to choose cake gelato.
Ice cream. Okay, so I just want to make sure, like, I was 100% with you on this. Your first time eating ice cream in 18 years, and you go for the most craziest ice cream.
Look, I don't want to knock what she's doing, but, like, it was a strong choice.
What would you have chosen?
I think you just pick your simple, your vanilla or your chocolate. Like, actually, chocolate ice cream, not a huge fan of, but, like, yeah, just a vanilla ice cream. Like, the thing with the cake gelato, like, we're going to talk about gelato for a second here.
I can talk about gelato all day. We could do a podcast on gelato.
Coming soon. It's the fact that there's, like, the chunks of, like, cake batter.
Correct.
In the gelato. Like, correct. You are already making this huge step forward to eat ice cream, but then you're choosing to also have the cake batter. And then when she's like pretending that it's nice, it's like, girl, you can say that it's not nice because it's not for everyone. It is not for everyone.
I was surprised she didn't just go with the little soft serve or like a lemon or a berry gelato. Do you know what I mean? Something that like tastes like alcohol a little bit. Tastes like a daiquiri.
Just a single flavor. No offense to Jackie, she seems like the kind, and no offense to everyone listening that's going to be angry with what I'm about to say, but choose a basic flavor like mint chocolate.
Fuck you. Mint chocolate chip is fucking the bomb. Wow.
I knew this was going to be controversial, but that's what she should have chosen, not the cake batter.
But I feel like mint chocolate chip is hard for people because it's got the chocolate plus the ice cream.
Well, she's already trying to make a strong choice with the cake batter in her ice cream too. But anyway, the fact is that it was confronting to watch, I think, watching her, like, have to eat it.
You don't think she was enjoying it? Because she said afterwards that it was delicious and that she loved it. You think she was putting that on for her kids?
100% she was. She did not enjoy any part of it. Which is completely understandable given her relationship with food. Mm. I don't think she enjoyed it for the flavor itself, and I don't think she enjoyed it as a part of her healing recovery process. What I did like, though, was that she shared it with the kids. I thought that was really, like, that was a smart thing to do. And in fact, maybe that would have been, like, a better thing to have done. Start off by the kids just giving you a spoon to start and then build up to your cake batter gelato.
Yeah. You know, I really love her kids. I love that her kids are just kids. Like, I know it sounds a bit funny, but they're kind of like, they just remind me of, like, if you had to, like, when you were a kid, like, this is what you think kids are before you, like, grow up and you start raising children, or before, like, they're not like Gia and Melania. Do you know what I mean? Like, they are just living their lives and they all seem to really like and enjoy each other. I love that they were, like, teasing one of the sons about his little, you know, fake mustache. Like, they just seem like such a jovial family.
Well, but this is the thing. If you remember, like, the first season that, like, Jennifer and Jackie joined. The birthday party. And the thing is, and this was the thing that annoyed Jennifer the most, Jackie and Evan are fucking loaded, right? They are probably one of the richest couples on this franchise, right?
Yeah.
And literally, Jackie, which is, again, you're saying, like, it's a normal, average, run-of-the-mill birthday party. It was literally just, like, kids like playing ball with each other and then like grab your party favorite out of the Amazon box, like, which actually to me is probably like we spent more money on that than most party favors. Like I used to get a little a little bag with
a with the lollies, a balloon if you're lucky.
That I think these kids probably got something better than that. It's just I think these kids are having a very simple, ordinary, happy childhood.
Yeah, and I guess they're all very close to age. I think there's it's like two sets of twins or something, right? Like so they're all very close or something like that. But it's I do enjoy seeing Jackie's family just because when she's not embroiled in drama, her life is so average that it's like quite nice, if that makes any sense. Like she's not really that over the top and that insane unless she's fighting with someone. And to be honest, I feel like after everything that happened with the whole Evan accusations, she's not even that over the top anymore. She's just fragile now. And it's almost frightening to watch when anyone upsets her.
Well, I think that's the thing, that she clearly has a lot of self-esteem issues. And that was why she reacted to in a certain way to these women. I think Teresa, had she not been, you know, in the situation that she's in, with the challenges that she has, I think she would have told Teresa to go F herself.
But yeah, 100%.
She took it very, very personally.
Well, I do just want to say that if we're going to, I hope for Jackie's sake, I know I said last week that I don't think she should be on the show because I think she should focus on her recovery. And I think the show is a burden on her recovery. But I really do wish her well on this journey. I just hope she is on the way to recovery and learning how to live with this illness.
Well, in the after show this week, I mean, I love the after show. Although the New Jersey one is definitely not as good as the Hills or Salt Lake City, and I think that's a production thing. But she is in therapy 3 times a week at the moment. She says that she's gained weight as well. She no longer see her ribs when she's not wearing a top, which obviously is a huge change for her. But it's something that, you know, I don't think she will ever be fully recovered because some of the things that she was saying, you know, like I said before, for something that we think is normal to her is so bizarre, and if things that, you know, she thinks is normal for us is quite confronting.
But this is why I say I try to say not recovered, but I try to say living with the illness, because that is the thing. When you're sick for life, and you have to just find the way to live with these illnesses, you know?
And hopefully she can take a holiday longer than 4 days.
Yeah, that made me really sad. Just more, I guess it's more around her not having the control over what she eats. And that was really interesting side of it. Now, I want to move along to, I guess, the pièce de résistance of this episode. The event of the episode, which was wrapped around Marge Senior. She was turning 75, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And we started to hear about this birthday party at the beginning of the episode that Marge is creating. And what we started to learn is about their Hungarian history. And this is the thing that reminded me about what makes New Jersey unique. For a really long time, it was really just about the Italian families. But now what we're seeing is the thing that really connects all of these women, whether it's Jackie, Jen, Dolores, Teresa, or Marge, is that they are all like these first or second generations still, right? There is still so much tied to their, you know, countries of origin. But it was really interesting to learn, I think, about the struggles or what Marge Senior went through coming to America as a young girl, fleeing the Hungarian Revolution, you know, getting a doll from President Eisenhower. Like, these are, like, really amazing things to learn. And this is one of the things that I personally really love about Margaret, is that she is such an open book and she shares everything with us in a way that it needs to be shared. And I thought it was really nice to see her connecting with her Hungarian roots, you know, speaking the language, you know, looking at the music and doing all those sorts of things. I just was like, this is a different side. We've not seen it before. I like it. Did you like it?
I did like it. I think my issue with Marge this whole season has been that she really hasn't given anything of her own personal life.
Fair enough.
It has all been, you know, off all the other women's backs. So it was nice to actually finally see her, you know, put on an event and to, you know, share a bit about her own life. I definitely saw this on Instagram, but it's obviously a very timely story, you know, escaping war-torn Eastern Europe, you know, against a Russian aggressor. Obviously, that is extremely on trend at the moment.
I'm not on trend.
So, you know, it was, you know, interesting to see that parallel there as well. But yeah, it's sort of like, where has this story been? You know, obviously it needs to come out at the right time, but it was very interesting to hear it. I mean, I think you're exactly right. I think these women all do come from a similar backstory. I mean, the fact that you thought Marge was Italian for a couple of weeks, then, like, that's because these women are so similar in so many ways. And I think that's, you know, it's that classic cliche, right? That the people who are the most similar end up having the bigger fights with each other. And Jen basically says that in this episode, right? Yes. That she can finally see that Margaret does love her family. You know, obviously she's got difficulties with her children, but, you know, she can see that relationship with her mum, which is very similar to how Jen is with her mum as well.
Yeah.
If only these women, that's how we get world peace, Moshi. We learn that actually we're not that different.
Okay, so I have a question for you because you pointed something out just then that I was like, oh. So you mentioned just now that you've been waiting for Marge to actually share something about herself and not ride on the back of these other women. And my thing about Marge is that I feel that she always is sharing stuff about herself. And so now I'm wondering if what happened last season where, you know, she wrote her book, she was sharing so much about herself and it ended up turning into a bit of a fiasco. I'm wondering if Marge is, I mean, this is the woman who got her hair pulled by Danielle, right? Like she really has put her whole entire body on, like she was pushing people in pools. Like she really went there and really like got down and dirty for since she's been on the show, that I'm wondering if after everything that's happened, she's decided that she's done. Like she wants a break. She deserves a breather as well. And if she, like she was so hurt by what transpired with Jen last season, because we know that she was just really determined to get back at Jen this season, that she's no longer going to be putting herself out there as much because of kind of what happened.
I think that's something common that we've heard of a few different housewives recently. I feel like Lisa Rinna is also another one of those names where...
Oh, really?
She's... Well, that last season on Beverly Hills, she kind of had a bit of an off season. She wasn't as involved in the drama. She kind of was a bit more of a passive observer rather than an active participant, perhaps having learned the lesson after Denise Richards, right?
Yep.
So has Margaret having a similar thing, like you're allowed to have a season where you aren't the main girl and that perhaps you help the other women, you know, have a storyline and to move them along a bit as well, because it is at the end of the day we are an so you have to you have to work as a team. You have to, you know, your colleagues, your co-workers. So, you know, I guess she's allowed to have an off season. It's just the fact is that, like, I think you can have an off season but still be presenting something about yourself. The fact is that she has been 100% just going for Jen and Teresa this entire time, and it's sort of like, give me something else. So she finally, episode 10, gave us something.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was just wondering if maybe she's just started to put her walls and her guard up a little bit. But yeah, it's just interesting to watch. And you're right, it has taken a while to get to this. But maybe as well, I know the rumors are saying that it's going to be the same season, the same cast again next season. But I wonder if maybe her time has come to an end also. Like, what more could she give us?
Well, apparently she's going to bring a friend on for next season. That's the other rumor.
Well, that's fine. But what is she going to give us? Like, she's given everything already. Maybe she's just given enough.
Well, let me ask you this, Moshi.
Oh, ask.
In the similar vein, do you think that Melissa, after trying to find her lost sister and getting have another pregnant. Baby at 40, do you think that that's why she's taken a bit of a backseat this season? I couldn't say it with a straight face.
No, but I think we've been saying this since we started this podcast. Why is Melissa on this show? Purely for Teresa. That's the only reason why.
Anyway, let's get back to this Hungarian
Queen's birthday.
I wanted to say fiesta of Spanish do. I really love that Melissa and Joe show up and they're like, oh, this is the place.
Yeah,
the shit went down last
Joey's baptism, the christening, which made me wonder, are there only two places, the brownstone and that place?
There absolutely are only two venues in all of New Jersey. And like it, they're both iconic. And you can tell everyone has had baptisms, weddings, wakes, confirmations, first communions, bat mitzvahs, like it's all done at the same venues.
Okay, because the other thing I was thinking is, say there are more than two venues, I think this is another thing that I like about Marge, because I think she's very smart. I wouldn't be surprised if she specifically chose that location knowing its significance to the franchise. Because I feel like that, like, and that level of meta, of like going deep within deep, like Inception, some might even call it, I think is that those are the little things that like make a franchise a flagship or like make it one of the better franchises. Do you know what I mean? Like having that little bit of attention to detail. And I feel that about Marge.
I am willing to support you in this, but my only hesitation is knowing what transpired at this previous event. Why would you want to bring that energy to your mum's 75th?
Because she's all about chaos. And also Teresa wasn't there.
Yeah, but Jen and Bill were going to be there and Joe and Melissa, they're not all on the best of terms right now. Evan as well. They're not all friends. You got the okay emoji response. Like, to me, that is simmering.
But now we have new memories at this location, because what did transpire was full kumbaya
without Teresa.
Teresa, which I think means that perhaps that, I mean, she is the fire starter.
Do you think Teresa would have started shit though at Margaret Senior's birthday?
No. And I think one of the things that broke my heart is to learn that Teresa and Margaret Senior are close. Like they have their own relationship. Teresa really gets along very well with Marge Senior and Marge Senior loves Teresa. I do think that was actually a bit petty on Marge's side to not invite Teresa. But I think it's very clear that there is a specific agenda. And I mean, of course it's going to backfire. But it's interesting to see it in play.
I also enjoyed that after this episode aired, Teresa's stories were all the flower arrangements that she had bought for Marge Senior.
I mean,
to prove that like she acknowledged her birthday.
Nobody does petty like Teresa Giudice. And the thing is, like, when Teresa does petty, you can't even call it petty because it's not petty. It's just like who she is.
I mean, speaking of petty though, Joe Gorga, I'm really glad that Frank Catania finally called it in this episode and was like, Bill, like, has done nothing wrong here.
Frank Catania is the saving grace of the show.
I was thinking, let's have New Jersey centre around Frank and Dolores, but then I realised, like, that's not a good idea.
Well, I do think, like, it was a great event. It was nice to see a bit of kumbaya. And as we mentioned earlier, it is the calm before the storm. We know next week things are going to pop off. But before we get, I do want to touch on, like, just a couple of interesting other things that happened aside, if you will. Look, Tracy is obviously itching for a turnpike. She's not going to get it. But it was interesting to meet her and Tiki's daughter, and it seems to me that she's perhaps on the spectrum. And that was something interesting. I guess, you know, it's the Onion, learning a little bit more about their life. And then on the flip side, seeing that Antonia is on the mend as Melissa continues to push another ridiculous storyline, comparing her and Antonia and their struggle, like, literally clutching at straws.
I'm enjoying Antonia being an angsty teen, though.
Obsessed. And the thing is, Antonia isn't just angsty. She's just annoyed at Melissa the same as all of us. And that actually is what makes me feel vindicated, because she's not shitty. She's so respectful to everyone else. You know, when Tracy and Tiki walked in and she saw their daughter, she was, like, trying to get her attention because she knows, like, she is a good older sister. She's a good student. She's a good friend. But Melissa is annoying.
Do you think that Antonia is like the president of the, like, Melissa Gorga hate society?
100%. If there is if there's a Facebook out there that's, like, about hating Melissa, Antonia is the one running it. Stop! Every time she says stop, I mouth it along because I can feel that it's coming. Like, everything. Stop! I love it so much.
Well, Moshi, I think that brings us to the end of another episode.
It does indeed. Short but sweet for us this week.
I kind of like it.
I kind of like it too. Let's see if we can stick around. Basically, it means we need no new Housewives episodes,
which all changes in May. Moshi, we have to keep our eyes peeled because the Beverly Hills trailer is dropping imminently.
Yes, any minute now. So when it drops, maybe we'll put it on our Instagram.
At From the Lower Level Pod. Who'd have thought we'd have one?
Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. We harp on about it every week, but it really does help get the podcast out there and helps us, you know, get more with our people, our community, if you will.
And otherwise, Moshi, are we taking a break next week?
Do you want to? We could.
I think we might have an Easter hiatus.
Let's do an Easter hiatus. I love that for us.
It's the sweeps. Is the sweeps when that you get ratings or you don't want ratings? I don't know, but it's a non-ratings week next
week. It's a non-ratings week for us next week. All right, so we're going to take a hiatus and we'll be back the following week, hopefully with a whole bunch more tea. We'll probably be talking a little bit about the OC as they head into the reunion and a little bit about New Jersey as they head towards the final episodes. But aside from that, have a great week, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.